It is time for your morning wake-up call from the National Hockey League. Damian Woody, this one's for you.
Freeman and McDonald left circle, 10 to go. In front, Kucherov, score! Kucherov! Kucherov scores with 7.8 seconds
Unbelievable.
Left. It's 2-1 Lightning!
Unbelievable.
Poor D. Wood, our resident Islanders fan, as they fall down to love in their series. The emotions, Damian Woody.
Greeny, who idea was it to replay this? I mean, that was crushing last night. That was crushing. So I'm just glad it's football today. So give me something good to talk about.
It was Ali Leo Grande's idea. So that's who we will blame today. I know you love her, so I know you won't be that mad. And with that, we welcome you back to this edition of Get Up. We come to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase, and it is one of the best days of the year. Let's show you why. We're getting up with double trouble in the bubble. What a thriller. Two overtimes and now a game seven on the way. We will get you there. Meanwhile, happy opening day. The NFL kicks off tonight and the game's biggest stars are on center stage right off the bat. We'll get you ready for the Chiefs and the Texans. And from the beginning, we take you all the way to the end. Super Bowl predictions. I'll tell you exactly who will be holding up the trophy when it's all said and done. All that and as we get up with you, starting right now. And if you're thinking, Chiefs, Texans, didn't we just see that? The answer is yes. January 12th, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, playoffs. Texans came out hot. First drive of the game. How does Kenny Stills get this open? 54 yards, Texans up 7-0. Texans would go up 24-0. Watson would throw for 388 and two scores. But then Patrick Mahomes became a legend. Chiefs down 24-7, not for long. As Travis Kelce, it's 24-14, and they were just getting warmed up. It's Mahomes, it's Kelce, it's a three-point game. Stop me if you've heard this before. Under a minute to play in the half, it's Mahomes, it's Kelce. His third touchdown of the half, Chiefs would never look back. Mahomes would throw for 321, five touchdowns. Chiefs would win 51-31. But a lot has happened since then. In particular to these two teams, in one of the early big moves of this offseason, the Texans traded away DeAndre Hopkins to Arizona. They got back David Johnson and draft picks. We'll see how that works out for them. The Chiefs, meanwhile, added to their extraordinary offense, taking LSU's Clyde Edwards-Helaire with the last pick in the first round. He ran for 1,400 yards at LSU last year. And perhaps the most notable moment of the offseason, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, a 10-year extension potentially worth over $500 million. Deshaun Watson, meanwhile, got an extension worth $160 million himself. So, center stage for these two superstar young quarterbacks as the NFL season kicks off. My crew is here, Shefty and Neek and Lewis. And D-Wood, we did not have you with us before, so I will come to you in a moment. But, Dominique, we gave you a little homework assignment. We said, as a defensive player, we wanted you to look into what would be the key to stopping Patrick Mahomes, which feels like it may be doing the impossible. What did you find?
So if you have four great rushers like the 49ers have, by all means, go ahead, send those four guys, play man behind, play zone behind. It doesn't really matter. But no one has that except for the 49ers. So I think you're going to have to get a little cute on defense. And when I'm looking at cute, it makes me think of Bill Belichick. And this is what Bill Belichick did last year. He had one robber. So they only had one D lineman on the field and a lot of speed. There's McCourty, who's playing the robber position right there. These three DBs in here are taking on this man-beating route. So these three DBs need to be playing with one brain at this point, and they do. So McCourty takes over the deep route, which allows Jones to peel off and which tells Jackson that he can undercut and get the interception. It's something you rarely see. Here we go again. Robber, again, we have a bunch of DBs on the field, seven, and again, McCourty's the robber. They're doing this kind of three levels route again to run away from these guys in man coverage. McCourty manages to cover all three. By staying high, he forces it low, and then him and Jones bracket this guy and get him down on third down, and that's what you have there. You have a sad Mahomes, an old Cedric Mahomes, something you rarely see. That defense was particularly different and innovative, and I think that's what you have to do to slow down this offense.
To be clear, because you say things like one robber and all of us nod our heads as though we have some idea what you're talking about, but it's an exotic defense and you did a nice job of showing it there. Is that something everyone can do? Do you have to have the personnel to do it, or is that a scheme that any team in theory can do?
I mean, I think everyone has one robber in their playbook. That's not the difficult part. The hard part, I think, is the part where I said they have to play with one brain. That's the tough part, is once someone takes over your route, you have to then replace the robber and find some work elsewhere. That's what I think the Patriots did really well on that first play, is that when McCourty took over, Jones was able to peel off, and that told Jackson he could get underneath. So the Chiefs have some interesting concepts, but none of them are novel. You just have to understand when they're in unique formations that they're still going to do the things that they like to do. They're going to try to beat you in man coverage. You have to understand where your help is and play smart with leverage and force them to make little plays all the way down the field so you can force them into the red zone situations where potentially you can win because you take away their ability to stretch the field.
Okay, interesting. So we'll keep an eye on all of that tonight. Meanwhile, there's one other thing the Chiefs have now that they didn't have in January, and we talked about it. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Damian Woody, how significant do you think he will be for them tonight and this season?
Greeny, I think he's going to be huge. I think he's going to be the new version of Andy Reid's Brian Westbrook. I mean, you're talking about, and we all know the type of weapon that Brian Westbrook was with the Philadelphia Eagles for all those years. And a guy like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, listen, he's a short, stocky guy, but this guy is lightning quick, can get out of his cuts real quick, and got really good vision. And in the passing game, that's where I think he's going to be, he's really going to exploit a lot of matchup issues for a lot of defenses. So, Greeny, imagine with all the weapons that the Kansas City Chiefs have on the outside and obviously Travis Kelce at tight end, now enter in Clyde Edwards-Helaire at running back, it's going to be hard to really double team. You can't double team everybody. Someone's going to be singled up, and I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to go off this year.
Yeah, and look, for those of you just joining us, Louis Riddick, we discussed it earlier in his fantasy draft last night with all the other people who cover football for us at ESPN. Louis had the first pick in the draft and took Edwards-Helaire number one. What are you hearing out of Kansas City, Louis, that suggests he's going to be that big?
Yeah, look, their general manager down there, Brett Veach, you know, he's very good at evaluating players overall. Okay, obviously he wouldn't have helped Andy Reid build a Super Bowl winning roster if he wasn't. But one thing that he is very good at and he has a very astute eye for is running back play in particular. He's largely responsible when he was in Philadelphia with Andy and I was there with him for us drafting LeSean McCoy at that time. He is a guy who really liked Kareem Hunt when Kareem came out of Toledo and they drafted him in Kansas City. And what did he do as a rookie? He tore it up. And many people thought, Kareem Hunt? Who's Kareem Hunt? And Kareem Hunt wound up being one of the best rushers in the National Football League. He is the guy who really had his eyes set on Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming into this draft. And considering what they were looking for to really round out this offense, which was a running back who could threaten the defense out of the backfield in the passing game in addition to running the football, he was the perfect fit for them. Now, what he will need to answer is this. On third down in pass protection, when they ask him to pass protect, or even on first and second down, will he be able to physically and mentally continue to be consistent in that aspect of the game? As far as the athletic aspect of the game, running the football and catching the football, they could not be more fired up. And he is going to be someone who I think starting tonight, you're going to see all the different ways that Andy has in store for utilizing him. And he's going to have a monster year. There's no question about that.
Shefty, I have all morning long been thinking I hear someone rattling change in their pocket, and it's being suggested to me that what it actually might be is a dog in the room with you. Is that possible? Can you confirm or deny that sound that I'm hearing distantly is coming from the Shefty estate?
Yeah, well, yes, Ella is here watching. I can pick her up and put her on TV.
Yeah,
Ella, come here a second.
Ella.
Come here.
Sure.
Ella, give me Ella. A second. Come here. Get over here. Yeah, no, come here. Come here. Come
yeah,
here.
That's
come
the
here.
Sound.
Okay. Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
So is this the noise? Listen. Is that the
yeah,
noise?
That's the sound.
Is that the noise? Yes. Ella's fired up for the opener. Okay. She's getting ready for the Chiefs and the Texans tonight. And to the loose point about Edwards-Helaire, go back to when Kareem Hunt was basically unveiled as a rookie for the Chiefs. Their first game was at New England, right? And in that game, they used Kareem Hunt in ways you would not have thought. And so I kind of look for that tonight with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And Ella, you're really bothering Greeny with this noise.
Not at all. Shefty, outstanding. We have
she
much
looks
more
like
football
she's saying,
as
can
we
you
go.
Put me down?
We will continue to meet everybody's pets as the morning goes on. There's nothing we love more than that. And in fact, I would have done nothing but football today. But then did you see what happened in the bubble last night? Holy smoke. Raptors, Celtics, Game 6, Toronto, the defending champs, backs to the wall, fourth quarter, 2 minutes to play. Raptors up by two. Celtics off a turnover. They're going the other way, and they will find Daniel Tice, the big fella, inside, 9 of 11 from the floor. 18 points, we're tied at 98. 10 seconds to play, same score. Celtics holding, chance to win. Chance to advance. Kemba, no, where's the call? Kemba can't believe he didn't get a foul. They actually call a jump ball. Take another look. You tell me, does Kemba have a case? He probably does. Play was reviewed. No jump ball. They gave the ball flat out to Boston, and on we go. Under 20 seconds to play in overtime. Celtics inbounding, down two. That's Jaylen Brown. Inside, fouled by Lowry. He'd make both. We're tied at 106, 31 points for Brown. 6.5 seconds to play. Raptors, a chance to win it. Norman Powell, ball game. Oh, was that close? That close. We're going to a second overtime. Jason Tatum says, all right, we've still got a shot. Second OT. Raptors, down three. 1.5 to go. Norman Powell. This guy was so clutch off the bench last night. That three ties it. Then in the final minute, Raptors up by one. We're turning defense into offense. Little poke check steal for Powell. He's going the other way. Yes, plus the foul. 4-point play after the free throw. He would score 23. Under 20 seconds to play. Raptors up two. Kyle Lowry. How clutch has he been? That could be a dagger. 33 points in 53 minutes. 12 seconds to go. Celtics down by four. Kemba. Tatum for three. Oh, he's got it. Celtics cut it to one. They foul Powell. Powell makes both, so it's a three-point game. 5 seconds to play. Tatum, the inbound. They're going to get a look. This is for triple overtime. Oh, it was that close. That close. But the Raptors win. And they stay alive. The championship defense is alive. We are headed to a game seven. And Tim Legler has gotten up early with us this morning to talk about what genuinely was a classic last night in every sense of the word. Tim, what is the number one takeaway from this double overtime thriller?
I think the experience that the Toronto Raptors got a year ago in becoming champions, I think, enabled them to handle this situation. And I think when you look at Norman Powell, the shot making and the clutch play that he gave them, they were down a handful of times in the two overtimes, 3 points or more. And any one of those cases, if they miss that shot, Boston goes down and scores Greeny, it's over. We're not talking about a game seven. We're talking about Boston onto the conference finals. That's how important those moments were for Norman Powell. Some were great decisions by the Raptors. Some were defensive breakdowns by the Celtics. But regardless, you're looking at a team that just is not going to be fazed by any situation, and it's all related to the run that they had a year ago. That's where the confidence comes from for guys like Powell and Lowry and Van Vliet and Siakam and that group. What an incredibly tough-minded group, incredibly well-coached. And I didn't want that game to end last night. One of the best games I've watched all year, and I'm hoping they give us something close to that on Friday.
What an incredibly crazy series this has been, going back to Game 3 and the Anunoby shot with 0.5 seconds remaining and everything else. So we find ourselves now, as you just mentioned, one game Friday night, winner take all. Who has the advantage?
Wow, I don't know that anybody has the advantage, but I have to make a pick, right? So I'm going to pick Boston, and I've never had less confidence in a pick in my life because I just know how tough this Raptors team is. I just think Boston has more guys capable of beating you in different ways. But the big key is that has to include Kemba Walker. And this is a guy that's a perennial all-star, and he comes to Boston not to put this in the hands of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, these two young star forwards. They got Kemba Walker because he's a guy with his live dribble, with his big shot-making ability throughout his career. He has to put a stamp on a Game 7, and this is the second game in this series where he was a complete non-factor. Kemba Walker has to be more aggressive. They can't worry about some junk defense that Toronto threw at him. He's too good a player to succumb to that. I expect him to be much better. He has to be aggressive at the start. And most importantly, it will take the pressure off of the ball handling responsibilities of Jason Tatum. Because as great as he is, you don't want to initiate your offense every time in important moments with Jason Tatum handling the ball first. That's why you have an all-star point guard in Kemba Walker. He has to show up, and that's why I'm picking Boston.
It all comes down to this Friday night. Timmy Legler, thanks so much for getting up early. We'll look forward to that. The action in the bubble continues to be outstanding. Meanwhile, we continue on Get Up this morning. Coming up, are the expectations for Tom Brady unrealistic? Wait till you hear what Brett Favre had to say about that. And I have a few unsolicited opinions for Brady as well. And could the D in Big D stand for disappointment? One member of our crew says yes. We'll find out what everyone else here thinks. And Hembo's going to get in the act. Sneaky Hembo time, and this one's for Neek. Who was the last quarterback to be favored over Tom Brady in a regular season game? We will do that, and we will continue to meet the pets of our analysts this morning. Ella Schefter has gotten up early with us on ESPN. All right, we are back on Get Up, and Sneaky Hembo has this one for Dominique. Tom Brady's an underdog this weekend. Who was the last quarterback, Neek, to be favored over Tom Brady in a regular season game?
I mean, wouldn't it just be Lamar Jackson last year? Weren't the Ravens favored in that night game?
They were not. It goes all the way back to week two of 2015. Tyrod Taylor on a Rex Ryan-coached Buffalo Bills team was the last quarterback to be favored against Brady, who has been favored in 74 straight regular season games, the longest streak in the Super Bowl era. Meek, candidly, you weren't close. Anyway, Brady and the Bucs open up their season in New Orleans, as I mentioned, as the 43-year-old quarterback enters season 21. How about Brett Favre talking about the expectations for Brady using his own post-Green Bay experience as the backdrop?
Now more than ever, the expectation level is at an all-time high. Not only that, what you place upon yourself, this new environment. Oh, we got Tom. We're going to the Super Bowl. And it's an added expectation level that you haven't faced ever. And I don't want to say it's not unreachable, but at times it seems like it's unreachable.
Interesting thoughts from Favre. And it brings me to my unsolicited advice for this morning. And my advice is for Bruce Arians, the head coach and offensive mind in Tampa. Don't forget that Tom Brady is 43. I know he plays like he's 33, and he looks like he's 23, but he's not. Remember that you have a great defense. You have a stacked running backs room. Forget about the no risk it, no biscuit. Play to the strengths of your team and let them carry Brady the way the Broncos did Peyton at the end of his career to a Super Bowl championship. That's my unsolicited advice for Bruce Arians in Tampa. Let me bring my crew in, and I will start with Damian Woody, who played with Brady at the beginning of Brady's career in New England. What do you think, Damian Woody, of that advice?
Well, Greeny, I think you're absolutely right. But I also want to go back to, you know, we heard from Brett Favre just now, and Greeny, you know, I was there when Brett Favre got traded in training camp. And the one sentiment that you had was we were all in shock when Brett Favre got traded. But as you're there in the facility and practicing around Brett, the one thing you wanted as a player is, man, wouldn't it be cool to win a Super Bowl with Brett Favre? You know, he was at the tail end of his career, Hall of Fame, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer, and everybody in the building wanted the same thing. Man, if we could win a Super Bowl with Brett Favre in a New York Jets uniform, yeah. I mean, that would just be just a huge accomplishment. But I do agree. Listen, Tampa Bay has to play to the strength. Brady is not a spring chicken anymore. He's 43 years old. Let the weapons around him help carry him to that Super Bowl.
That's what I'm thinking. Dominique, as I come to you here, I'm not in any way suggesting Brady is done or he isn't good and isn't capable of playing well. I'm saying that team has a lot of other strengths. Let him do his piece of it. But this no risk it, no biscuit thing that led to Jameis Winston throwing 30 picks and Brady taking a lot of shots in the chops, they don't need any of that.
Yeah, I mean, but you mentioned when Manning went to the Broncos. I think that Brady is looking at that same situation, but looking at the first year when Manning went to the Broncos and he lit the league on fire and was breaking all types of records. I think that Brady also cares about proving to the world that what happened last year was a result of his weapons, not a result of his age. So I think that maybe you're right in winning a championship, shying away from the no risk it, no biscuit policy may be the right thing to do. But I think Tom Brady wants to light the world on fire and show that he is still as good as he's ever been. So maybe you're right, but I think Tom Brady might disagree with that as a strategy.
Shefty, what do you expect it to be down there? What, from the people you talk to, we've had Jen Elaine on the show many times. What do you expect that offense to be down there?
Well, a few things. First of all, what's interesting is that everybody knows what Tom Brady can and should do for that Buccaneers offense, right? It should be better. There should be fewer turnovers. It should be better managed. But in talking to the people in that building, they believe what he's done is elevate the play of the defense in practice, because each day during the summer, the defense came out all fired up to go against the greatest quarterback of all time. And it raised the level of intensity at practice on the defensive side of the football. And they felt like the defense, which was already very good under Todd Bowles, with him being the defensive coordinator, elevated its level of play, came out with more energy, more intensity, and it really helped improve the level of play for Tampa's defense this summer. The offense, we know, Brady will take care of it. He's surrounded by weapons. We don't know whether Mike Evans will play on Sunday against the Saints due to the hamstring injury, but this team is loaded. It's got a lot of running backs. It's got Chris Godwin. O.J. Howard has looked strong during the summer. Rob Gronkowski's been brought in there. They've got a lot of weapons on offense, and they became a highly intriguing team and storyline for the upcoming season.
No question. And they're going to be very interesting to watch. And I will bypass the obvious joke about why the defense at practice would miss having Jameis Winston there because, you know, they got to score all those touchdowns and stuff like that. I won't make that.
That doesn't count as bypassing it, Greeny. That is not
bypassing. Above that. I'm above doing that. All right, coming up as we continue here on Get Up, who is more likely to win their division? Tom Brady's new team or Tom Brady's old team? You've got questions. We have all those answers coming up. And then I have a question for you on my Twitter page at ESPN Greeny. The poll question today, which of these young star quarterbacks has the best chance to win MVP this year? Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson. Cast your vote. We continue. Get up on ESPN.
Don't forget, you can vote by mail. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
get up, and we open this morning with a thriller in the bubble. This one, not as thrilling. Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers looking to go up 3-1 on the Nuggets, and they would do it methodically, which is the way Kawhi tends to do things. Look at him working in the paint, and then look at him working on the outside, knocking down three of his 30 on the night. Clippers a 10-point lead. Ensuing Nuggets possession. Jamal Murray has it. Now he doesn't. We're going the other way. Kawhi, Lou Will had a dozen. Clippers up 10 after three. Kawhi's mom says we're in charge. 5 minutes to go, fourth quarter. Clippers up 17. Kawhi still working. Montrez Harrell with authority. He would score 15 off the bench. Clippers win it by 11. They take a 3-1 lead in that series. All right, back to the game tonight, and let's do more or less. Lewis, Texans, Chiefs, 60 points combined tonight, more or less.
I'm going more, man. I think this is going to be an offensive explosion. I think, obviously, Pat Mahomes is going to come out with this newly retooled Kansas City Chiefs offense featuring number one overall draft pick in the fantasy draft, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think they're going to put up some points. Mm-hmm. I think in this game, Deshaun Watson rather showed that this is a guy who can put up points on this Kansas City Chiefs defense. And I think with it being the first game of the season, tackling's not going to be very good. I think it's just going to be points all over the place.
Me too. Meanwhile, Neek, 3.5 touchdown passes for Mahomes tonight, more or less.
I hate to be rooting for this, but I think it's less. I don't think he'll have that many. Last year in all 19 games, including the playoffs, he only did it twice. So I don't necessarily think in week one that he's going to have four touchdowns. He might have three, but he won't have more than 3.5. So it will be an offensive explosion. Maybe he'll run a touchdown in, or maybe Helaire will run a touchdown in. They'll have more than three touchdowns, but it won't be all passing by him.
Meanwhile, Lewis, back to you. Deshaun Watson tends to get sacked a lot. 2.5 sacks of Watson tonight, more or less.
I think it's going to be more, and I don't like saying more, but I think it's going to be. I think look, this is an offense that right now really doesn't have a number one wide receiver now that DeAndre Hopkins isn't there. So is it going to be Brandon Cooks? Is it going to be Will Fuller? Who's going to be the guy? Is it going to be Randall Cobb? Who's going to show up for Deshaun? Deshaun likes to hold on to the football. He likes to extend plays a lot. I think sometimes, obviously, he sacks himself more so than what the defense does as far as just beating the offense in 2.5 seconds or less. So I think he's going to take some hits, but I think he's still going to be electric.
Okay. Meanwhile, guys, I want to go on the clock and talk about some of the bigger NFL storylines for this season. And it starts with Tom Brady, and it's all about his new team versus his old team. Which do you think is more likely to win their division, the Patriots or the Bucs? 1 minute on the clock. Neek.
I think it's easy. I'm going with the Patriots. I think the Bucs have a tougher division. I think New Orleans is going to win that division. The Patriots division is not easy necessarily. They're going to have one tough team in the Bills, but I think I would lean on what Lewis said earlier in the show, honestly, is the Patriots have proven to us that they are very good, and until they prove otherwise, I'm going to stick with them, especially adding Cam Newton.
Lewis, which team is likelier to win their division in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree in any way with what Dominic just said. I think it's going to be the Patriots. I think the Patriots are the most resourceful team maybe in the history of the NFL, especially in the salary cap era. And look, Tampa Bay is in the division in the NFC South that quite honestly is stacked. Look, between the Falcons and the Saints, that's who they're really competing with in order to win the South. And the Saints have to be – look, the Saints at some point in time have to get over the hump. The Saints at some point in time have to be the NFC representative in the Super Bowl, which I think they will be this year. So I think Tampa Bay will make it to the playoffs, but it'll have to be one of the wild card spots.
Okay, well, that pretty much answers our next question, but let me throw it at you here because there are a lot of aging quarterbacks in the sport who are walking into the Hall of Fame as soon as they are done. So of those, Rodgers, Roethlisberger, Brady, Breeze, which one do you think has the best shot to win the Super Bowl this year? 60 seconds, Lewis.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Drew Brees because I think that team right now is set up both offensively and defensively to really get over the hump. And again, I think when you're looking at a season like this, which is going to be unprecedented in terms of its unpredictability, familiarity is going to be what rules the day. Sean Payton and Drew Brees have been together forever. They had no offseason, but they didn't really need an offseason because they already know what to expect from one another. The roster is stacked. I think it's just going to be one of these situations where Drew is going to finally get over the hump and be the NFC representative as they've been trying to, you know, knock on that door over the past 3 years in particular.
Neek, who you got?
Yeah, I think all of those quarterbacks are in good situations. Some of them are in new situations, which is what made the difference for me. I'm going to go with the continuity argument in Drew Brees again. So I think Roethlisberger is in a similar situation, but I don't know that that team has the offensive firepower to support an aging quarterback. Breeze obviously has the offensive firepower. Not very many people are talking about the additions they've made to the receiving core. I think it's going to help Drew Brees stretch the field, even though his arm isn't what it used to be. So I really like the Saints right now, and that defense is loaded.
Okay, and then one more. I have a poll question, and this goes in the other direction. We're talking about young star quarterbacks. Each of the last 2 years, a young quarterback has won MVP. So if we're looking for someone else who might win it this year, in which direction would you look? You can cast your vote at ESPN Greeny on Twitter. Are you looking at Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, or Deshaun Watson? Dominique, I will start with you. I know you vote on my Twitter polls. So who did you vote for?
I voted for Dak Prescott. I think that I may not be surprising very many people, but I think his situation is good. He's coming back off of a great offense, and he's in a division that he can win, or he's likely to win, in my view. I think that's different for the other two guys. Kyler Murray's in a very tough division, and he's going to have to play all six of the division games are going to be really tough, and he's not going to be able to pile up those stats or necessarily win the division, and the same could be said for Deshaun Watson. So I think Dak Prescott has gotten better every single year that he's in the league. If he manages to get better off of what he did last year, that is absolutely MVP caliber football.
Lewis, which of those three guys you give the best chance to?
Yeah, what a great group to choose from. But I'm going to go with Kyler Murray because I think the dual threat aspect of his game is going to go off the charts this year. You know, being with Cliff Kingsbury another year, they went out and got him a true number one wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins. He has a dual threat runner in Kenyon Drake behind him. He has one of the greatest wide receivers of all time as far as a security blanket in Larry Fitzgerald, hail to Pitt, Pittsburgh Panthers. And I think, you know, it's just going to be one of these situations where in his second year, he is just absolutely going to take off and take the league by storm. And he's my fantasy quarterback.
Lewis. So Lewis has Kyler Murray and he has Clyde Edwards-Helaire. His team is stacked. So that's a team he loves. Now let's talk about a team he's not buying into. In our first hour, if he weren't with us, we had quite a debate as the Cowboys look to rebound and make the playoffs after a disappointing end to the 2019 season. Lewis Riddick told us in our first hour this morning as our analysts have been making bold predictions that you, Lewis, do not expect the Cowboys to make the playoffs this year. So quickly, for those who are just joining us, Lewis, give us a synopsis. Why is it you don't believe Dallas makes the postseason?
Well, one, it's a bold prediction, right? And look, I understand that they have a lot of weapons and they have a lot of fancy toys and stuff. And that guy up there in the box on the right, when we had the box up there of all of us, mm-hmm. Damian Woody with his bootsy glasses on, I understand he's enamored with all the toys on the perimeter. And you know what? And so am I. Look, who doesn't like CeeDee Lamb? Who doesn't like Amari Cooper? Who doesn't like Ezekiel Elliott? I like all those guys too. But this is a team that right now, although they kept some continuity on the offensive side of the ball, as far as play caller with Kellen Moore, they still are under the stewardship of a new head coach that they weren't around at all this offseason, and they had a condensed training camp. So let's just see how they all come together when it's actually time to tackle another team, game plan for another team, play another team for 3 hours, 3.5 hours on a Sunday, and let's just see if now all these things that look real fancy and shiny for them actually can produce on the football field. I think they're in a division also where no one's talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles have a Super Bowl winning head coach. The Philadelphia Eagles retooled their offense. They got some more weaponry on the defensive side, namely in Darius Slay on corner. And I think in the NFC overall, if you don't win your division, you are going to be one of those teams that is scrapping against some very, very good teams, particularly in the NFC South and in the NFC West for one of those three wild card spots. So I think Dallas could be sitting there right on the edge of teetering at that 8-8 mark again and sitting on the outside looking in.
Yes, well, we all know that never ends well for them, certainly not in the last generation or two. Shefty, before I let the other guys chime in, I am interested in this. You told me on my radio show yesterday that this figures to be the most unpredictable season that we've ever seen. One of the things we really don't know is how will these teams with new coaching staffs like Dallas be able to manage having had almost no offseason, having had literally no preseason? The people you're talking to, what are they projecting about that?
Listen, the Cowboys and the Eagles are the only team in the NFC East that doesn't have a new head coach. The Cowboys have a new head coach. The Giants have a new head coach. The Washington football team has a new head coach. And so you would think that would be an advantage for the Eagles on the basis of continuity alone. But the fact of the matter is, look, these teams have spent all offseason trying to implement their programs virtually. And there hasn't been any preseason action. Usually we put on the preseason games. you get an idea of the vibes surrounding a team, how a team does or doesn't look. We have seen none of that. So nobody really knows. But again, I know that you have new coaches in Washington and Dallas and New York. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes that could be something that inspires and motivates a team, even though it is a new system. And they've spent the offseason trying to pick it up and study it. So really, Greeny, it's impossible to say how it's going to go. We can make the generalization. Advantage Eagles, being that they have the continuity with Doug Peterson and the rest of the coaching staff. But the fact of the matter is, how do we know that Mike McCarthy is not going to come into Dallas motivated, or Joe Judge in New York motivated, or Ron Rivera in Washington motivated? We just don't know how that's going to play. There's so much we don't know right now.
All right, so D. Wood, let me go back to you, because again, Lewis was coming right at you all morning long here. It's as simple as this, really. Do you buy the Cowboys or the Eagles in the NFC East this year? Bang.
Greeny, about a month ago, I was buying the Philadelphia Eagles to win the NFC East, but I just think the injuries on the offensive line, particularly the left side of the offensive line for the Philadelphia Eagles, that troubles me, bothers me, because we know that Carson Wentz is not the most durable guy at the quarterback position, and when you have your left tackle, your left guard out for the season, now I know they're moving Jason Peters back to left tackle, but those are significant blows to the Philadelphia Eagles. And so when I look at everything in this totality, I'm swinging it back to the Dallas Cowboys and the continuity and the weapons and the personnel that they have, particularly on the offensive side of the football.
Neek, I'll come to you. We all know how much you admire Dak Prescott, but you're still an unbiased analyst. Do you like the Cowboys or the Eagles? I think we all assume those two teams are the ones that will be fighting for that division. Who you got in the NFC?
I like the Cowboys, and I find it interesting that Lou was early on talking about D. Wood forgot where he came from and doesn't have respect for the trenches. Part of the reason why I like the Cowboys over the Eagles is because of those Eagles' injuries in the trenches. It's so hard to win if you are hurt in the trenches and you have a quarterback who seems to be quite fragile. Oh, well, it's not about these sexy toys on the outside. It's not about Gucci Collins glasses. It's not about none of that. It's about injuries to the Eagles' offensive line, and it's about that Cowboys offense being as prolific as it was last year, and their defense has to get better than it was last year. I understand how continuity helps, but you don't want continuity from garbage. Their defense was garbage last year. Get the staff out, get a new staff in, get some new players. They'll get a little bit better. The offense will be great. It's hard for me to imagine a way that the Cowboys miss the playoffs in this coming season.
There is nothing I love more than this shot. Someone get me that shot where Damian Woody was taking a sip of coffee and Shefty was on his phone. That is exactly what we want this to be, Shefty. Yeah, and look at D. Wood feeling good about his prediction.
You keep – wait a minute. So not only do you wear starry-eyed glasses, you flip from the Eagles to the Cowboys. You're all over the place, Woody. I mean, you got Shefty over there saying, oh, we don't need – huh? You my
he
boy,
does.
Though.
You're my, Lewis has been coming after D-Wood today.
I know how you came up in the league. I know how you came up.
Hold that thought, fellas. We're coming back to you all because we still need one thing, and it's the most important thing. Everyone on the panel will make their Super Bowl picks. We'll tell you exactly who will finish the season holding the trophy. And since it does seem to be Bring Your Dog to Get Up Day, oh, look at D. Wood. My goodness, that's a large man and a small dog. Back in just a moment. Get Up on ESPN. We are back on a busy morning. Let's get up and go. ACC men's basketball coaches are proposing an expanded NCAA tournament this March that would include every Division I team. That move is being led by Duke's coach, Mike Krzyzewski. We'll see if they get there. Meanwhile, record-setting night for the Atlanta Braves. They scored 29 runs against the Miami Marlins, led by Adam Duvall, who had three home runs, including a grand slam. The 20-run loss is the Marlins' largest margin of defeat in franchise history. And Serena Williams back in the semis at the U.S. Open. A come-from-behind win. Lost the first set but took the next two in beating Svetlana Pirankova. Williams is trying to win a record-tying 24th Grand Slam championship. And tonight on ESPN, you will see the women's semis. You will see Serena taking on Victoria Azarenka in the nightcap that is following Naomi Osaka taking on the surprising Jennifer Brady in the first semifinal. Good action. Coverage starts tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Okay, we have bold predictions from all our analysts this morning. Damian Woody, give me some bold predictions, please.
Okay, Greeny, how about this one? Jalen Hurts will start multiple games this year for the Philadelphia Eagles. Listen, this is, I know a lot of people were surprised when Jalen Hurts went in the second round, but this is a young man that's played a lot of winning football between Alabama and Oklahoma. We've seen the injuries to the offensive line of the Philadelphia Eagles, and I think Jalen Hurts at some point this season will come in for injured Carson Wentz and start some games for the Philadelphia Eagles. Like next, that. Joe Burrow will set the rookie touchdown passing record this season. Listen, I know Joe Burrow went number one to Cincinnati Bengals, and the Bengals stunk last year. But when you look at the Bengals offensively, they have weapons on offense. They're getting A.J. Green back. Tyler Boyd is there. They drafted T. Higgins, Joe Mixon. So he has a very good cast of characters on the perimeter and in the backfield for Joe Burrow. And lastly, Cam Newton will lead the NFL in total touchdowns this year, running and passing. Everyone has lamented about the weapons, the lack of weapons in New England. But listen, Cam Newton is teaming up with the greatest head coach of all time in Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels as the offensive coordinator. They've never had a guy like this that's a threat, a dual threat guy in the backfield. And I think they're going to devise a lot of ways of getting Cam Newton a lot of touchdowns this year for the New England Patriots.
Again, I mean, this is never going to end. I mean, I got Dominique picking Cam Newton to be the MVP. I got Damian Woody telling me he's going to lead the league in touchdowns. 20 years. I thought this was over. I mean, every time you think you're out, Bill Belichick pulls you right back in. All right, time for Super Bowl predictions. We saved the best on this morning for last. Damian Woody, I'm starting with you. What's your Super Bowl pick?
So, Greeny, I got the Seattle Seahawks and the Baltimore Ravens in the Super Bowl, with the Baltimore Ravens winning Super Bowl down there in Tampa this year. Listen, everyone talked about Lamar Jackson and his ability in the postseason. This is really the last step in the evolution of Lamar Jackson. I think he takes another big leap this year in the postseason and takes the Baltimore Ravens all the way and wins the Super Bowl.
That's a fascinating pick. We've got a lot of people don't like Seattle either. I like it. Neek, what's your Super Bowl prediction?
Yeah, I got Chiefs over New Orleans. I understand how the COVID situation might make you think that this year is going to be unpredictable, but I think that the shortened preparation time leads to the more established franchises and the more talented teams kind of prevailing. And I think these are the two most talented and most established teams on either side. So they'll meet in the Super Bowl, and I can't pick against Patrick Mahomes in the big game. Mm.
Chiefs over Saints, says Dominique. Lewis, what do you say?
Yeah, I see it the same way, Chiefs over Saints. I think the Chiefs, obviously, we've talked about them a lot in this show. I think they really have upgraded their offense, if that was even possible, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire's addition. I think on the defensive side, I think Dominique referenced the fact that Juan Thornhill is coming back, who was on his way to being a Pro Bowler in his rookie season. And I just think that they're loaded for bear. I think the Saints have really, really, you know, put together a nice football team offensively and defensively. They're highly motivated. They've been knocking on the door of the Super Bowl recently in the past 3 years. So I think they meet down there in Tampa. I think Pat gets his second Super Bowl championship, and he's well on his way to establishing himself as one of the best players to ever play this game.
Listen, I'm just pleasantly surprised that none of you picked Cam Newton, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots to win this thing the way my morning has gone. Very quickly, I'll give you mine as well. I, too, have Kansas City winning the Super Bowl, but I have them beating Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. I just buy. Mm. I buy into it in every conceivable way, primarily because that's a much better team than anyone else, I think, realizes, the Buccaneers I'm talking about. So I've got Tampa Tom at home, but I have him losing to Mahomes and the Chiefs. So, Shefty, I know you don't like to make these predictions because you're the insider. You need to cover everybody. But as you assess everybody's picks, what is your reaction?
Well, we made picks for ESPN last week, and I usually think of my Super Bowl prediction in like June or July. This year, it just kind of came to me late. I'm going to incite our cast. I'm going to incite Stephen A. Smith. I'm going to pick the Dallas Cowboys to beat the Baltimore Ravens in the Super Bowl. We'll see.
He does make a pick, and he makes the most off-the-board one of anybody.
Oh, you like
well
that?
Done. Outstanding. Quick break. Back with much more. And I will remind you, college football Saturday night is coming your way on ABC. Trevor Lawrence leading number one Clemson on the road against Wake Forest. We got a football game Saturday night, 7:30 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. We'll come back with a look at tonight's game. And then right after we're done, it's time for a First Take. Max and Stephen A., just how worried should the Celtics be heading into a Game 7? They're 7 minutes away. First Take right here on ESPN. Oh, and Lewis Riddick has dogs, too. He's got a photo. Oh, that is just too good. Back in just a moment. Saturday on ESPN Plus, the UFC Fight Night card features Michelle Waterson and Angela Hill in the strawweight main event. Prelims start 5 Eastern, main card 8 Eastern. To get ESPN Plus, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. Meanwhile, as we continue to monitor the poll here on my Twitter page, 51% of you believe Deshaun Watson has the best chance to be this year's MVP ahead of Dak and Kyler Murray. Keep those votes coming as we go. And speaking of votes, we have time for picks on tonight's game against Chiefs and Texans. We'll kick off the season tonight, and we'll begin with Dominique. Dominique, who do you like tonight?
Yeah, I got the Chiefs. I think it's going to be closer than people expect. Watson's going to play well, but I think Mahomes pulls it out in the end.
Yeah, it is actually the biggest spread of the weekend, according to our analytics. Wow. Lewis, who do you like tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I would expect a high-scoring affair. I think defensive tackling is going to be something that's going to be lacking in this game, although the weather isn't supposed to be great down there. But, yeah, I'm going to go with the Chiefs to start off their season with a win.
D. Wood, who do you like tonight?
Give me the Chiefs. I think, you know, with the weapons that they have, in addition to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think who's going to be unleashed against the Houston Texans. I like the Chiefs in this one.
Yes, I hate for everyone to pick the same team, but I can't go the opposite direction. I certainly like Kansas City tonight. Shefty?
You know who wins tonight, Greeny? We all do, because football's back. We never thought this would happen, so we all win. Football wins. Great job by the NFL and the NFLPA for bringing this back tonight.
I agree. This was a moment that over the course of the last 6 months, and every single one of you guys have been here with us throughout it, and all we did was hope. And here it is. Tonight, we get an NFL game that matters, and it kicks off the season. Thank you all. I'll see you on the radio at noon Eastern. It's time for First Take right now.